The portion that was the basis of our study last Thursday in Matthew chapter 26, from verse 36 to 46. And I want to underline one a sentence upon which I felt very limited on Thursday evening, because we were dealing with Gethsemane. And therefore, I did not feel free to spend the whole time talking upon this other matter. It is verse 41. Verse 41 of Matthew chapter 26. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Now, the word watch, I think, unfortunately, as I did mention on Thursday evening, has become a kind of religious phrase. Watch and pray. It has all the sort of feeling about it, the atmosphere of a kind of religious exercise. And therefore, many Christians feel that watching is something that belongs to spiritual adulthood and maturity. I disagree. I think that this matter of watching is of vital importance to us when we are first saved and for us throughout our Christian life. In other words, it is not, as it were, a kind of higher level ministry, a kind of higher altitude ministry. As you climb up, as you move on, so you become, as it were, one who can watch and pray. But this is the idea most of us have got, that it's something that belongs to Trojan-type missionaries. Sort of great warriors in the work of God who know what it is to watch and pray. But for us lesser mortals, watching and praying, we excuse ourselves on this. We haven't the time, we've got children to look after, we've got homes to bother about, husbands or wives, or we've got a business routine, we've got to get up every morning earliest and go off to work, and we come back tired out in the evening, and then often there's a gathering we feel we ought to go to, and so on, and we're weary, and we feel that this watching and praying business belongs really to those who have been given this ministry, to those who are qualified spiritually to watch and pray. This is not so. This matter of watching and praying is fundamental and elementary. Now, mark what I say. It is fundamental and elementary. In other words, what the Lord was trying to say to those 11, first to the three, then later to the 11, and to the whole church, is that this matter of watching is absolutely vital to the progress of the Christian and the progress of the church. It doesn't matter on what level you look at this subject. Watching and praying is vital, whether it is in the front line, as it were, and far-flung parts of the earth, or whether it is on the front line at home, in the more urbane and sort of sophisticated life we know here. It doesn't matter. Watching and praying is elementary. You can't get out of it. Now, I hope I've made that point clear. I'm taking it for granted, with a little bit of sarcasm, that you have all been at the Bible study. And therefore, I shall not bother to say anything about the context of this verse. I take it for granted, I know that the vast majority were, and that isn't sarcasm, at the Bible study. So I think you understand what it was all about. You know that the disciples, he took eight, he left them at the entrance, he took the other three, and he said, watch and pray. Watch and pray. He went further and he started to pray, came back and found them, their eyelids heavy and nearly asleep. And he said, could you not, he said to Peter as the sort of representative of the others, couldn't you watch for one single hour? Now the word watch, as I said, is just keep awake. Keep awake. Now let's get rid of all this religious connotation, all this sort of higher level ministry idea. There is a higher level ministry connected later. We're going to say something about that later. But let's get rid of it first of all to get at the root of the thing. The whole matter is simply keeping awake. That's all. Keep awake and pray. That's all the Lord said. He didn't sort of say in sort of pious and rather sanctimonious and watch and pray. He said keep awake and pray. Keep awake with me. Pray with me. Keep awake. Don't drop off to sleep. You'll everlastingly regret it. Keep awake. Now, when you realize that, that's why it's so elementary and fundamental. What can the Lord do with people who can't keep awake? How can the Christian progress if he can't keep awake? Now, of course, there is a place for sleep. There is a place in Christian experience for sleep, in one sense. There is a winter when things seem to be dormant and when we feel very much the barrenness of everything. It's a phase to which we have to go again and again in Christian experience. But the tragedy is when we're asleep, when we should be awake. And the Lord's word to us is to keep awake. This is why I say it is fundamental and elementary. And I would also like to point out that the praying comes out of the keeping awake. Now, my dear friend, this is absolutely so. Look into your own experience, into your own history. I dare hardly say look at one another. Not quite the thing to say, is it? But I mean, if we look at our own experience and history, or observe one another kindly, we shall discover that the people who really pray are the people who are most awake. And the people who least pray are the people who are dozy. Forgive the expression. Who are really half asleep. People who are half asleep don't pray. I mean, you can see that in a prayer meeting. It's the people who are alert, who are sensitive to the Holy Spirit, who are somehow awake to what is happening, who are open to the burden of God, that contribute and take part and are in the flow. The others can be draped all over chairs. They're there in body, but not there in spirit. Why? Because they're not awake. Flitting through their minds are all kinds of thoughts. They might as well be at a cinema. For there in their minds are, as it were, being shown, as it were, picture after picture after picture. It's flitting through as they're dreamily half asleep. When the Lord said, keep awake and pray, he meant that prayer comes out of keeping awake. That's why it's so elementary. He didn't say, pray and watch, which we would have expected. If this matter of watching is such a higher level matter, such a qualified ministry given to only a few, we would expect the Lord to say, pray and watch. But he didn't. He said, watch and pray. I will say something further about this. For prayer, we are told to pray unceasing. Prayer unceasing. Now, that doesn't mean that we're to lock ourselves up in a room for the whole time, as it were. It means that there is an unceasing communion, if you like, an unceasing conversation within the heart with God. Now, I want to say this. It is the people who are awake who pray like that. For when we're awake to spiritual things, awake to what is happening, we're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, we sense danger. Now, the wisest of us can be tripped up by the devil. He's no match for any single one of us. He can trip any one of us up. If we trust in ourselves, if we think we're standing, as it says, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. The fact of the matter is that when we're awake and alive to possible dangers. We sense them, or at least, as it were, the Holy Spirit can make us aware that there's some kind of danger in a situation. Something's happening, something's unclean, some tentacle, as it were, of the enemy is reaching out to clutch us. Now, when that happens, we pray. When we're half asleep, the tentacles are around us before we've woken up. But the time we're alive to the situation, the thing is wrapped around us 100 times. That's why the Lord says, keep awake and pray. Most of us do our praying when the situation is well and truly advanced. I mean, the Lord has to have a kind of emergency squad service to sort of get us out of scrapes and difficulties all the time, because we've got right into the thing before we're even alive and awake to what really is happening. Now, that's why the Lord says here, watch and pray. Keep awake and pray. This is true of your personal life, in the office, at home, in your personal life, wherever you are. There are things we see. There is nothing wrong with seeing things. We can't help it. We've got eyes. We've got ears through which words and other impressions come. That we can't help. Nor is it always wrong to react and respond. It's what we do with the reactions and the responses. When we are alive, when we are awake, we know to whom we can turn instantly. And before the thing has taken root, it can be dealt with. The Lord has said, ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. The psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. When we're alive and we're awake, as we turn to the Lord, there is a channel by which the Holy Spirit can immediately put the word of God into us and keep us. Keep and guard us and deliver us. Watch and pray. I believe this is so in the church. On every level in corporate life, as we care for one another, we are to be awake. We see the dangers coming. And therefore prayer comes out of the keeping awake and the sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. That's fellowship, real fellowship. Not just gossiping, not just criticizing, not just passing on unpleasant information, often in the guise that it is for prayer. Rubbish. There's no such thing. For if the person who really sees something can pray, their lips will be guarded as to how they pass on information and to whom. Watch and pray. In the battle that we're in the church, the building of the church, there is no greater need than keeping awake. Do you think that the enemy is going to just let things go through? Do you think he who knows his time is so short is just going to stand back at the end and allow things, as it were, to somehow or other just get through to the king, to the glory? Not at all. If this arch enemy of God has fought for thousands and thousands of years, and if he through that long time has gained much experience in the battle, you and I can be quite sure that the end of this age is going to see a fearful battle with every single weapon that the enemy has ever known flung into the battle to trip up people. How is he going to do it? Is he going to just sort of, in general terms, sort of wipe out and exterminate the church? No. What he's going to do is he's going to trip up child of God after child of God. That's all. In one way or another, suiting the weapons he uses to the life that he is dealing with. That's why we need to keep awake. Now, this is a matter that you will find in many, many places. As I say, you can think of keeping awake as being alert. That's all, being alert. Spiritually alert. Now, you can tell when a person is spiritually alert. It's not just their voice. It's not even the sort of clarity of the eye. It is... the whole behavior, the whole, everything about them, it betrays that they're alert. They're alert. They're alive. They're awake. If you turn to 1 Thessalonians and chapter 5, we read this. This is speaking about the coming of the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 4. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you. There's a thing. Fancy. Is it possible that the day of the Lord should overtake us? For ye are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. So then, let us not sleep as do the rest, but let us be awake. Let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that are drunken in the night. But let us, since we are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. Then again, if you will turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. I always thought this was a rather extraordinary quotation to come in Ephesians, as suddenly Paul says this. Well, perhaps again we ought to read from verse 7. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were once darkness, but are now light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is well-pleasing unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather even reprove them. For the things which are done by them in secret, it is a shame even to speak of. But all things, when they are reproved, are made manifest by the light. For everything that is made manifest is light. Now listen, wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall shine upon thee. Awake, thou that sleepest. Couldn't be more elementary. Awake, thou that sleepest, and rise from the dead, and Christ shall shine upon thee. Have you ever noticed in Scripture what has happened when people have slept? It all happens very easily. We begin off by being keen and zealous. And then, slowly but surely, it is not a frontal attack of the enemy so much as little things and legitimate things. Those of you who've got homes, the routine of the home begins to get you down. And all the problems and the difficulties, the continual emergencies, as it were, tend to wear you out. Rather like nurses when they first start on night work or sort of anything to do with shifts. You start off first absolutely all keen, you're going to be at everything, you're alive spiritually and awake spiritually, but then after a while what happens is with all the different times of hours and so on, you give up in the end. It's not that you've given up spiritually, it's just it's too much. And without knowing it, you start to fall asleep. Watched it. Folk who would at one time a few years ago had not missed anything of real value, you'll only ever see them on a Sunday morning. What's happened? Even when a missionary comes back, such people cannot be present. Asleep. But how has it happened? They're not dead. They're just drowsy. No, the Lord has the greatest sympathy. Because everyone who's got into that condition, it's due simply to circumstances and situations and difficulties. It's as simple as that. The Lord's fully aware of it. But it would never have happened if we kept awake. The result is that when Antichrist comes, those that have not honored the Lord will not be honored. When children are taken away from parents, as they have been in Russia, when husbands are torn away from wives and wives from husbands, when the church is no longer permitted to gather and worship, then comes the day of darkness. You cannot make up then suddenly in a day what you should have been doing and gathering in years. The crisis discovers us, whether we're asleep. It did in China. It has behind the Iron Curtain. And it will in the end here, if we believe that finally there will be such a person as Antichrist. Well, there you are. I say it because it needs to be said. It's a matter, I believe, of vital importance. Don't think for one moment that I'm just saying that everyone should be at everything, they should be doing everything, especially when you've got other commitments and many other responsibilities. That's a matter between you and your Lord. But what I am saying is this, I'm discharging a responsibility. When the Lord is first in our home, when the Lord is first in our career, when the Lord is first in our personal life, in the realm of our friendships and relationships, when the Lord is first in church life, then there is a way for the Lord to do things. There is a way for the Lord to work. He takes responsibility for the home and for the children and for you and for all the problems. They may be many and very great. But when he's not, you're left to get on with it. I mean it. Oh, we find it out again and again. People come and say, suddenly, they want the Lord like a kind of char who will just move in and scrub the floors, do the dirty work, get rid of the things, come in whenever there's any trouble. But the Lord will not be treated like that. In love, it's not love, on his side, to allow himself to be treated like that. It's the spirit of this world. The point is, the Lord wants to be able to take your home, your career, your personal life, and our life together as a people and say, this is mine. Now, when it's mine, I take full responsibility for it. When you're ill, I'll touch you. When there's a problem, I'll solve it. But you can't expect me just to come in when you want me and do all the dirty work when there's dirty work to be done. And when everything else is moving okay, I'm out the picture. I'm shunned. I'm ignored. I'm not wanted. You don't fellowship with me. Awake thou that sleepest. The Lord says, awake, watch and pray, that you enter not into temptation. Oh, those poor disciples. As I said on Thursday night, we don't know what we've lost. Oh, we don't know what we've lost. If they'd only kept awake. We've only got a fragment of the prayer of our Lord in Gethsemane. We might have had a chapter. But we don't know, it's lost, forever lost, what the Lord went through. They only caught a glimpse of his anguish. They only heard the first words of his prayer. That's all. I think that Peter and James and John, ever after, must have wished they'd kept awake. What mysteries would have been unraveled? But more than that, as I've said again on Thursday, touched on it just simply, if only they had kept awake and prayed with the Lord, perhaps they wouldn't have forsaken him. They would have been alive and sensitive. They would have seen the battle fought and won, and into their hearts would have come faith. If this battle that our Lord, our Master is facing has been won here in Gethsemane, we can face it. But when it was all over, they had no knowledge of really what had happened. They heard him say, thy will be done. They saw him get up. They didn't realize that the battle was already won. When that mob came, they fled for their lives. Now that's what I mean. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The Lord is so loving. He says the Spirit is indeed willing. He knows your heart. He knows that the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Yes, he understands it. His plea to you is, be awake, keep awake, and pray. I must finish. But if I were to take you through Scripture, some of the things in Scripture that happened when people were asleep are both highly amusing and very instructive. You know Samson? Do you know it was when he was asleep that his hair was cut off? You know what that led to? His eyes were put out. And he came into bondage to God's enemies. It happened whilst he was asleep. You'll find that in Judges 16, verse 19. Not very pleasant verse. Delilah knew what she was doing. She waited till he was asleep and then whistled in the men. And they just cut his hair off. And he was finished! Keep awake and pray that ye enter not into temptation, into trial. It was a word for Samson. Eli was asleep when the voice of God called in the temple. Samuel was awake. He heard it. Old Eli had been the high priest for years and years, but he was dozy. He had two sons that he was so indulgent over that he allowed them to corrupt the service of God under his very nose. Eli didn't hear the voice of God, just like many of us don't. The little lad Samuel was awake and he heard it. While Samuel slept. While Eli slept. So Saul slept, you know, once with his mighty men, Abner, his commander-in-chief, and whilst he slept, David and the others came, and they could have killed him. But because he was the Lord's anointed, David stopped them, and they took the cruse of water and the spear, and they put it elsewhere in another place. They cut the end of his robes. Think of it! While he slept. You'll find that in 1 Samuel 26 and verse 7. All these happened while they slept. The apostles slept whilst the Lord was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And you know that we have lost very much. There was another young man over which I think everyone should take careful note. A man called Eutychus, a young man called Eutychus. He sat in the upstairs on the third floor in the window. Paul went on talking like I am. And it got to midnight, and it says Paul continued and prolonged his speech, and the oil lamps were hanging everywhere, and the fumes and everything else, and Eutychus fell out the window. He fell into a deep sleep, fell out the window, and everyone thought he was dead. The whole meeting broke up in panic and horror. Eutychus has fallen out the window. Think of it. Now, I don't know what Paul was like really in that way, but I can well imagine that if he was prolonging the speech so for that night at Troas, it was perhaps the only time really they'd ever heard the Apostle Paul, and perhaps the Spirit of God was with him right in the middle of it. It was all finished. Now, you may say, but Paul raised Eutychus up. What a testimony. Yes, but have you ever thought, supposing you'd been Eutychus, would you like it that forever after throughout history everyone laughs at him? Oh, Eutychus, it's the one that fell out the window, wasn't he? Fell asleep in the meeting. The whole of the church knows it. When we get to heaven, when we meet Eutychus, we'll say, you were the one that fell out the window. Think of it. Don't you think that Eutychus might well have thought to himself ever after, others told me what Paul said. Others told me, years perhaps later, when he'd really grown up spiritually. It may have been the only time he ever heard the Apostle Paul, and he was asleep for most of it. And afterwards, I have no doubt he said, if I'd only stayed awake. It was different. People have told me what he said. I've got his letters, but I didn't hear him. He fell asleep. The Lord has used it again and again. You remember the story of the 10 virgins? 5 slept when the bridegroom came, and they were shut out. The householder, it says, if he had known what time the thief would have come and taken his goods, he would not have slept. But he slept, and his goods, he was robbed of his goods, and his house was broken into. There was the farmer who slept, and whilst he slept, an enemy came and sowed tares in amongst his wheat. And there were servants who slept whilst their master was away, and thieves broke in. And when the master came back, he put the servants out and said, I will not have you anymore. These are solemn things. Keep awake. Keep awake. In other words, when the Lord comes back, if he's expecting to find us awake and praying, may the Lord help every one of us